from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Happy to be here with you this morning and every morning on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. I apologize, we had a technical glitch this morning, and we had to reboot the computer in order to get everything set up. So sometimes stuff just happens, folks, and today there had to be a reboot of the live feed, and the live feed had to update itself. Normally, that takes 5 minutes. In this case, it took almost an hour. So, apologize for any delay that you had in listening to today's show, and I thank you so much for tuning in and truly appreciate it. So, thank you for your support, and thank you for being here with me on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. So thank you for tuning into today's show. And once again, sorry for the delay. Something out of our control. Sometimes technology is just being technology. So on today's show, proudly brought to you by all of my partners in Central New York, which you can check out on WakeUpCallDT.com's homepage and take a look at all of their logos. And you can click on each of their logos that will take you to their websites, to their Facebook pages, show you what they do and what they're all about. I want to thank them for supporting the show. In the Morning Menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. The Morning Menu of topics for today's show. We're going to take a look around the sports world. We're going to do that in the first hour, but we'll actually save that until the second hour and then going on a little bit. And we will instead start off in a few minutes here with the Syracuse Orange one-on-one conversations that I had going into today's show. Those one-on-one conversations are with Adrian Autry, the assistant coach of the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team. He'll be followed by Torian Thompson, who is a true freshman on the team, true freshman forward slash center. And then I will go to the sophomore forward slash center, Tyler Lydon, my one-on-one conversation with him, and I will finish my Syracuse one-on-ones by airing my conversation with Tyus Battle, true freshman guard for the Syracuse Orange. So that'll all be coming up in just a few minutes, and then we'll take a look around the world of sports, and that will include Steve Wojciechowski and Marquette defeating the top-ranked Villanova team. Number one and number two go down yesterday. I'm talking about Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. Number one and number two went down, so we'll discuss number one going down. Then we'll discuss number two, the Kansas Jayhawks going down to the West Virginia Mountaineers. And from there, we'll get into Adam Pac-Man Jones back in the news and back for bad things. And Adam Pac-Man Jones priors that it'll be nostalgic for me because on my first ever radio opportunity professionally out of college, I worked with ESPN and in Scranton, Pennsylvania, ESPN 630 AM, 1240 AM and 96.1 FM. And I read the rap sheet of Pac-Man Jones the first year that I was on the air there. And I will now proudly read it again 9 years later. Kyle Shanahan, we'll get into him, Super Bowl on the line in the present and a potential job on the line for the future. And then we'll also get into Falcons owner Arthur Blank and what he's doing to say thank you to the people that work for him. And we'll celebrate Deion Waiters, former Syracuse player, and what he did a couple days ago. So that's all coming up in the Morning Menu of today's topics here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, proudly brought to you by The Market Diner, 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. But before we go there, we will go here. We'll take a step aside for the show and come right back with my one-on-one conversations with Syracuse basketball.
This is a wake-up call fast break.
Here is Tommy from Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub. Woody's is going into its 13th year, and you know, we started out as a what we thought was going to be a neighborhood corner bar, which has turned into, you know, a really good sports bar. We're adding 360-inch TVs. Just really a great place to have a beer and have some food. So that same Irish pub feel where you can go in there and relax and not worry about, you know, what's going on. I take pride in our food. We have burgers, wraps, salads, Cubans. Our wings, obviously, I think are some of the best in the city. We have a great Philly cheesesteak. We have a great Cuban. All my soccer players love the Buffalo chicken wraps.
Woody's Jerkwater Pub and Grub is located in the Mattydale Shopping Center off of Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York. The Syracuse Silver Knights, your premier indoor soccer team in central New York. It is great entertainment value and affordable fun for the entire family. Great seats and ticket packages are available by calling 315-303-7261 or go online syracusesilverknights.com. And don't forget to tune in to Wake Up Call with Dan Totora for your chance to win tickets to a Syracuse Silver Knights home game. 'Ole 'Ole Mexican Restaurant at 2803 Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York, right in the Mattydale Plaza, is your home for the fresh Mexican food you've been waiting for. Owned and operated by head chef Lenny Aviles, who prepares every meal with the same care and fresh ingredients as if you were family. 'Ole 'Ole isn't just a name, it's a representation of the Mexican heritage in central New York. Make sure to try the Wake Up Call Taco Platter, available anytime. Dine in or take out by calling 315-455-5OLE. That's 315-455-5653. 'Ole 'Ole Mexican Restaurant. Authenticity on every plate.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Happy to have you here. And once again, the show is Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Today, we had a technical glitch with the live feed, and so we had to start, obviously, a little bit later here, closer to 10 o'clock. But the normal time, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the live feed, MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. So I apologize, totally out of my control on my end here with the live feed, but I'm happy and thankful that you are here tuning in right now, and I appreciate it. I appreciate your patience, and I thank you so much for that. So thank you for listening in to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora here on WakeUpCallDT.com. Your one-stop sports shop on the homepage here and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT, the live feed. So we're flipping the show, and we are doing, first and foremost, the conversations that I had with Syracuse Orange men's basketball following their victory over Wake Forest that they pulled off by being down at 3 at halftime. Back and forth this game, had numerous moments where it could have gone either way, and it ended up going in the way of the Syracuse Orange. Credit to them for their hard-fought effort, very strong effort. You know, when they were on the road against Boston College took care of business. When Boston College came to the Dome, Syracuse took care of business. You look at games like Miami, Syracuse took care of it. Pittsburgh, you know, Syracuse was able to take care of things. But they're really close. And then Notre Dame in North Carolina on the road, Syracuse was close, but never close enough. This was the game that went back and forth. This was the game that we really got to see what Syracuse was made of, being put in a situation where they had to play back and forth and had to find a way. Between the two teams, there were 14 lead changes in the game and 12 ties in this Syracuse game against Wake Forest at home. So just to tell you how many times this game could have gone either way, that's where it stood. And Syracuse was able to come away with it 81-76 at the end of the game. And I had an opportunity following the game to speak with Adrian Autry on his thoughts. Adrian is no stranger to the show. We've done a lot of things in the community, and he's been on here many times. And I now proudly bring you my conversation with Adrian Autry following Syracuse's win over Wake Forest. That starts off with, to come back, see the fight of this team. What can you take away from this game?
Well, I think, you know, like you kind of hit it right on there, you know, just to see the fight and the resiliency again. You know, every game is tough, you know, no matter what, home or away. And, I thought we finally fought back. You know, we've had a couple of these where we didn't kind of respond that way. And I thought today was just a great example of staying with it, sticking with it, and fighting back.
Torian Thompson came out in the second half, scored 7 of the first 9 points. Just what you can say about how he's developed this season.
You know, I think, you know, Torian is really, you know, the offensive part he's pretty good at. You know, it's really the defensive part, and I'm more proud of the way he had 2 blocks today and just kind of being active and starting to understand and really focusing on that. The offensive part of it, you know, he's pretty good at that. You know, for us to win, we need him to be active on the other end, and I thought today he, you know, made steps. Wasn't great, but he made steps, big steps.
What was it in the locker room at halftime that made the change, in your opinion, that the team came out offensively, defensively, doing a lot of good things? I mean, you look at the offensive side and say almost 60% field goal percentage in the second half, but the defense, especially that steal at the end, condensing, making free throws, there's a lot of other things that happen outside of just offense. So just what you can say about maybe what the locker room felt like and how you went out of the locker room.
Man, I think, you know, we were down 3, I believe, and, you know, the one thing about it, the offense wasn't playing well, but our defense was good. So we really just talked about our defense and, you know, relaxing, getting our offense going, which we knew would, you know, hopefully if our defense can keep going, it would generate our offense.
That coming from Adrian Autry, assistant coach of the Syracuse Orange. Adrian Autry speaking with me about just there, what the team did coming out of the break. You know, what was the conversation at halftime? And he said, you know, defensively, we thought we were playing well. So it was just about offensively getting comfortable, slowing down, you know, obviously finding your shot, making sure that you handle business on the offensive end of the floor. This was a game that we got to see a side of Syracuse that we haven't seen in the ACC play so far this season. And that was the side of Syracuse, like I was mentioning, where we were seeing fights. We were seeing grit. We were seeing somebody who can grind it out, who can push for the opportunity to get this victory. You know, Syracuse, essentially, in the article that I wrote that you can read on the Right Now page of wakeupcalldt.com, you go to wakeupcalldt.com, click on the Right Now page, and right at the top it says Syracuse survives the seesaw. It's a lot of S's. So Syracuse survives, say that 4 times fast. Syracuse survives the seesaw, Syracuse survives the seesaw, Syracuse survives the seesaw, Syracuse survives the seesaw. I did it. So Syracuse survives the seesaw. Go and read that. We've been told, and it starts off, we have been told home is where the heart is. Home has also been where the wins are for the Syracuse Orange men's basketball team, with all 11 of their victories happening inside of the Carrier Dome. And it ended with them getting their 12th victory. So Syracuse's 12th victory of the season just so happens to be their 12th victory at home as well, because that is where Syracuse has found their success this year. They're 0-5 on the road, and they are 0-2 on neutral court when they lost to South Carolina at the Barclays Center and lost to UConn at Madison Square Garden. So the team has yet to win a game away from the Carrier Dome, which, you know, makes for some concern, because they will have multiple games away from home coming up, and they'll have a stretch of games away from home coming up soon. And we're going to take a look at that right now to take before we get into the next interview here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora inside of the Morning Menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. The Morning Menu of topics. Right now, we are in the Syracuse Orange one-on-one conversations following the victory over Wake Forest at the Carrier Dome that I was on hand for. And so you just heard from Adrian Red Autry, Red speaking on the Orange, little play on words there, for Syracuse in this Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora episode this morning here on Wednesday, January 25th. I will be joined in just a few moments by Torian Thompson, as well as my conversation with Tyler Lydon and Tyus Battle. So you'll be able to hear all of those. As I was talking about with Syracuse's schedule, they have 3 of 4 at home, including the Wake Forest game. So Wake Forest is at home Saturday, January 28th at noon Eastern time this coming Saturday. Syracuse will host Florida State. Then they'll be on the road on Wednesday, February 1st at NC State. And then they will be home Saturday, February 4th at noon Eastern time. So for the fans that are going out to the game this Saturday, you'll have a game next Saturday as well to start off February. And then they will be on the road for 3 of 4. So home for 3 of 4, and then on the road for 3 of 4. Syracuse will be at Clemson, at Pittsburgh, home against Louisville, at Georgia Tech. And then they will play 3 more games to end out the regular season, with 2 of those 3 games being at home. So Syracuse has 3 out of 4 in the dome, 3 out of 4 away from the dome, and then 2 out of 3 back in the dome. And that will be, you know, it leans more on the side of helping them out. They have 4 more home games left here in the regular, 5 more home games left here in the regular season. So they'll have an opportunity to try and get a victory, as that victory on the road has eluded them up to this point. But they have opportunity to go out there and get it. So we'll see what they do from here on out. But playing inside of the Carrier Dome has been good for the team. It's gotten them to 12 wins, and they are now currently 12-9. That's 21 games. They have 10 remaining. For those of you that are doing the math, to get to that coveted 20 wins, Syracuse would have to win 8 of their last 10. I don't see that happening. Maybe they split. Maybe they do a little bit better than that. But I don't see them getting to 20. I saw 17-14 at the beginning of the season with how they were playing. You know, a few games in to gauge the team, I said 17-14. I've stuck by the record of 17-14. They got an outside shot of maybe getting to 19 wins, but I see 17-14, and then they'll have to win a few in the ACC tournament. Continuing on with Syracuse one-on-one interviews here on Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, I am now happy to share with you my conversation with Torian Thompson following the victory over Wake Forest, and what he had to say about this game and what he had to say about his performance as well. So we'll start here with Torian. 21 minutes, 18 points. Spoke with Adrian Autry on your defense. You had 2 blocks. What can you say about the defense against Wake Forest? Because the focus has been on your offense, but to shift the focus to your defense, what can you say about how the team played defensively and what you think overall?
Well, that not in our offense. That's the reason why we got buckets, you know, on the other end of the court. They were really good, especially with their big down there, and we really wanted to discourage the lob pass, even though we got a few, and the post pass and post entries. So I think we did that well.
What can you say about improving your defense up to this point, 21 games in? What can you say about where you started and where you are right now, kind of the things that you've been focusing on?
Now it's just consistency. It was just one game. I had some stops. I got to do it versus Florida State, one of the best teams in the country. If I could do it then, I don't think I could do it with anybody.
What can you say about this team in the locker room at halftime, just what it felt like and how you came out of it? You were down by 3.
We never put our head down. We knew it could be our game, and we just wanted to keep fighting, and that's why we won.
To look at what you were able to do, come out in the second half, first 7 points, or 7-9 points in the beginning were yours in the second half, just what you can say about being tenacious and getting out there.
Yeah, I mean, I was real laid back in the first half. I wasn't really contributing to the team, and I made it a point to start, you know, getting on the glass and fighting for position down low and give my team an advantage, the advantage we needed.
What can you say about Tyler Lydon? Even though he's not obviously a point guard on the team, he knows how to find you guys in the right places at the right times, found you a few times
today. He's not only a great shooter, but he's real good moving the ball, and he's real fluid. He can really pass, and we have great chemistry, so we always look for each other first.
This is a wake-up call, Fast Break.
Carvel DeWitt, it's what happy tastes like. Do you know why? Because we make ice cream. Creamy, rich, flavorful ice cream. Not yogurt or iced milk like some of our competitors. Ice cream. Fresh, by hand, daily. For the calorie conscious, we have something new for you. Our new Carvelite. Same great flavor, creaminess, and texture of our regular ice cream with only 35 calories an ounce. So whether you want an ice cream cake, flying saucer, dasher, carvelage, hard or soft ice cream, we will satisfy your craving with our fresh, handmade regular or new Carvelite ice cream. Carvel DeWitt. It's what happy tastes like.
Clothing that will change with you without you having to change. DreissigLady.com, D-R-E-I-S-S-I-G, Lady.com. with the Bamboo line Relax Fit clothing as well as the Athletic Fit clothing. DrySigLady.com is fit for any woman, any time of the day, anywhere. Whatever you're doing, whatever your day commands of you, command yourself to feel comfortable in DrySig Lady Apparel. DreissIg Lady.com. For all the women out there, feel good in what you're wearing. And don't feel like you have to constantly change throughout the day. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a business owner, going for a jog, going for a meeting, or just relaxing at home, DreissigLady.com is the right fit for you. DreissIg Lady.com.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more. The Market Diner prides itself on bringing the local community fresh ingredients that are better than going elsewhere. Open for breakfast, served all day, lunch and dinner with daily specials. The Market Diner is located at the Regional Market on Park Street, right across from Destiny USA. For takeout, call 315-474-5247. The Market Diner. Local. Fresh. Better.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Here in the morning menu, proudly provided by The Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the Regional Market across from Destiny USA. Proudly bringing you the Dan Tortora special, available daily, Monday through Sunday. You can get it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner Monday through Saturday. And on Sunday, they close at 2:30, so make sure you get in there before then on a Sunday, go in there for Sunday brunch, Sunday breakfast, in between church, whatever you got to do, get yourself over to the Market Diner and try out the Dan Tortora special. Belgian waffle, cut in half, warm, soft, little bit of powdered sugar, filled with a bacon, egg, and cheese omelet. You want to change your life? Do it with that. I mean, everybody deserves to have a little bit of fun here every once in a while, right? We all deserve to have a good time, eat some good food, have some good conversation. We'll do it at the Market Diner and try the Dan Tortora special. 60 to 70 of the Dan Tortora special sandwiches sold per week in this first year of it being available exclusively at the Market Diner. So try out the Dan Tortora special. Belgian waffle cut in half, filled with a bacon, egg, and cheese omelet. Pick it up and eat it like a sandwich, or cut it up, put some syrup on it, and eat it that way. However you like it, thank you for getting it at the Market Diner at 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the Regional Market across from Destiny USA. Here on the show, in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner, we have been speaking on Syracuse basketball. And in speaking on Syracuse basketball, I feel it's only fair to have those that are playing the game and coaching the game to have their opinions and thoughts heard by you. So Adrian Red Autry, assistant coach of the team and former player, was just on a few moments ago, followed by Torian Thompson, true freshman forward slash center. He is now joined by Tyler Lydon. Tyler Lydon is now here, my conversation one-on-one with him following the victory over Wake Forest in the Carrier Dome Tuesday, January 24th. They gave Syracuse 12 wins on the season to 9 losses. We'll start here with Tyler Lydon. 21 games into the season, what are you taking away from this team right now?
It's just good to see everyone out there competing for a full 40 minutes and everyone's keeping their head and staying aggressive.
What is it about this team, and especially in this game at halftime, that you felt like you could come out and win this game? Torian said nobody hung their head at halftime.
Yeah, I think everyone just stayed positive. Like I said, it was just a matter of everyone being ready and aggressive for the full 40 minutes. And, you know, when we're able to do that, you know, we're a different team.
Do you still see light at the end of this tunnel for this year?
Absolutely. I think everyone in this room knows what we're capable of doing and feels confident that we can do that. And, we just got to go on a run. And, you know, last year a lot of people counted us out. So it's nothing new for us. But at the end of the day, we can't really worry about what people are saying. We just got to go and play our game.
That coming from Tyler Lydon, once again, sophomore /center of the Syracuse Orange here on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, discussing what his thoughts are on this team. The fact that they have not quit fighting, they're not going to quit fighting. And like he said, I was here last year. Nobody believed in the team last year. Now, I can make mention that, as you know, for those of you that have listened to the show, I went against over 700 people to cover the Atlantic Coast Conference and chose Syracuse to be at the top of the ACC with North Carolina. At the end of the season, Syracuse and North Carolina stood alone in the ACC when it came to being in the Final Four. Four teams in the Final Four in Division I men's basketball in the NCAA tournament from 351 schools. Four of them remained out of 351. For those of you that are playing the home game, four remaining out of 351 means that 1.1% of the teams that play college basketball at the Division I men's level, 1.1% of them are going to make it to the Final Four. Less than 2% of the teams that play Division I men's college basketball, less than 2% will advance to the Final Four. And Syracuse was one of those four teams. So I'd say my prediction was pretty accurate. I would say that it did even better than I thought it would. And Tyler Lydon said that. Last year, who thought we were going to do it? This year, who thinks we're going to do it? Now, I do think this is a different team. I do think if this team had a little bit more time, maybe if there was 40 regular season games, we would see a change. We would see the shift. We might see this shift going into the ACC tournament, but that would be the perfect shift for Syracuse. Reason being is that Syracuse has not won a game in the ACC tournament in the 3 years they've been in the ACC. They didn't win the first year. They took themselves out the second year in a self-sanction, and they didn't win in the third year. They lost to Pittsburgh at the end of the game. In a close game. And a Trevor Cooney shot that bounced off the rim. So they've yet to win a game in two chances in the ACC over 3 years. But the way that I see guys like Tyus Battle playing, the way that I see guys like Taurean Thompson, like Andrew White III, moments with John Gillen, the way I see, and Tyler Lydon's, you know, Tyler Lydon. I mean, he's never really has a terrible game. Never really has a game where you're like, wow, he was just playing awful. This team, if they can continue what they did in the game against Wake Forest, if they can continue that fight, if they can continue that, try to say can continue 12 times fast. That's a hard one. If Syracuse can continue to be tenacious on the boards, aggressive offensively, attack the rim, aggressive on defense, hands up, moving around. There's a lot of things that Syracuse did in yesterday's game against Wake Forest that they haven't done all season. They came back. They played a seesaw the entire game, and they survived it. They made free throws down the stretch. They attacked the rim. They stole the ball and got out in transition. They made three-point plays. They made them back-to-back. Tyler Lydon was looking for people down low and helping out the point guards by being the best vision on the court, in my opinion, in the game against Wake Forest. Tyler Lydon was looking for more people underneath than any of the guards were. Andrew White was hitting his shots. He didn't hit everyone, but he went 6 for 15, and 5 of those 6 made shots were three-pointers, just shy of 50% on the day. He's 5 for 11. So his shots are falling. Tyus Battle is going to the rim, and he's cashing in. The team's making free throws. They're getting rebounds. They didn't have a single offensive rebound, Syracuse didn't, until 7:31 remaining in the first half. But that first offensive rebound by Tyler Lydon led to Syracuse going up by a point, 21-20. So they didn't get an offensive rebound for more than half of the first half. But when they finally got one, it was one that mattered so much in that moment because it gave Syracuse the advantage back. And granted, they gave it right back, and it went back and forth. But to grab an offensive rebound and get the lead, that does something to the psyche of the team. Those moments show you that you can do it. Those moments remind you that you do have fight in you. Those moments tell you that the game is not over. Granted, it was early, but teams can be taken out of a game mentally by missing out on those opportunities. So Syracuse got after it on the offensive glass. Syracuse got after it defensively. Syracuse made it difficult. I mean, you look at the end of the game, John Gillen punching the ball out when Syracuse is up and Wake Forest is trying to come down and make a quick shot and then have another opportunity. John Gillen goes for the steal when you could be called for the foul, and he punches the ball out and is able to get that. It's moments like that that you have to stop and realize that Syracuse is doing some really good things in this game, most recently. So if they play the way that they played, and this is a big if, but if they play the way that they played against Wake Forest throughout that game, if they do that, if they can hold on and do that for the rest of the game they have this season, this is a team that we could see surge late and at the most opportune time for the Syracuse Orange. Because winning a game in the ACC tournament, no matter what happens after that, that's something that Syracuse has never, ever done. So to do that now, to do that in this moment, when they need a win, when they need that feeling, when they want to see what they are made of, that goes a long way. The ACC tournament will inevitably, at this point, decide what the committee thinks of Syracuse. The games that they have remaining will also help decide that. And let's take a look at the games that are still here on the docket for Syracuse. But before we go there, I promised you Tyus Battle, and I deliver. Here is Tyus Battle in our one-on-one conversation, playing 40 minutes in the game against Wake Forest. Just what he can say about making sure he wasn't fatigued and keeping his stamina going. What is it about playing in 40 minutes that he was able to keep himself healthy, keep himself vibrant, keep himself tenacious? Because when you're a fan and you're watching in the stands, whether a player plays 40 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, it doesn't matter to you unless you really like that player and they're sitting on the bench and they only played 5 minutes, or you're wondering why Jim hasn't gone deeper on the bench. Then you wonder. In those moments, those are the moments that stick out to you. But besides that, if a player plays 40 minutes, you go, well, they're at the college basketball level. They're at the highest level of NCAA sports. So listen, he's going to have to learn how to play 40 minutes because that's what you need here. So I feel like it goes underappreciated and sometimes unnoticed. So I asked Tyus Battle, he's a true freshman, what kept him from being fatigued out there? This is what he had to say.
I'm feeling good. I'm kind of getting used to playing more minutes now. I've been doing a lot of extra conditioning after practice, stuff like that, just getting my body ready and warm. So I'm feeling great.
What's some of the things that you've been working on before the game to make you be able to last throughout that 40 minutes? Because obviously in a game like this, you're going back and forth so much, there's a lot of pressure on the team. Just what have you been doing to get prepared for those 40 minutes?
Stretch a lot. But the key thing is just I've been doing a lot of extra conditioning, extra stuff on the treadmill, bike, stuff like that after practices, every practice. Sometimes pool workouts. So I just been putting in the work, and it's been paying off so far. I feel good out there.
What made you put in the work? Was this something that you just personally put on yourself? Did the coaching staff put it on you? How'd it come about?
Coaching staff put it on me. They definitely put it on me. But it's really paying off. It was tough in the beginning with all the extra conditioning, but I feel it's nothing now. I feel really good out there, and I'm not really winning at all.
You're 21 games in for college basketball. What have you been able to take away from these 21 games?
It's definitely been up and down, but it's great coming out here and winning. That's the key thing. We just want to win. So it doesn't matter how I play. Just coming out with the W at the end of the game is just all that matters.
Teams don't usually have to have four new players that are spending so much time out there on the court. With you being a true freshman, Torian Thompson being a true freshman, and then having the graduate transfers of Andrew White III as well as John Gillen, it makes this team have a unique environment, a unique culture. What can you say about that? Because so many people have had expectations high of Syracuse as they are every year, but obviously there's four new faces that had to gel and fit together. Where is this team at right now?
It's still up and down, but I think we're getting a lot better with it. We've been playing really good at home. We just have to take it to the road and start playing well there. But the road game was just about our defense. We're playing defense at home. We just got to bring that same mentality on the road.
What is the mentality on the road? What is it about the defense that you feel like isn't clicking there, but it's clicking here at home?
We just have mental lapses sometimes. And when you have mental lapses in the defense we're playing, it just ruins everything. So we just have to stay focused, stay active, and we'll be fine.
This is a wake-up call. Fast break.
Larger Than Life Toys and Comics is a 6,000 square foot haven of comics and collectibles located inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. They offer new as well as vintage comics, collectibles, video games, and more. Larger Than Life Toys and Comics will also buy from you. So bring in your used or vintage comics and toys today to their store inside the Great Northern Mall in Clay, New York. Call 315-622-1891 to learn more about their trade-in policy, store credit, and even layaway. That's 315-622-1891. And make sure to like their Facebook page, Larger Than Life Comics, for constant updates, store hours, and more.
The Penn and Trophy Center on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, has been making memories for Central New York for over 60 years. It has the trophies for your teams, and when you walk in there, it's so much more than just that. When you walk into the Penn and Trophy Center, you are immersed in the reality that anything can be customized, anything can be engraved, whether it's for your anniversary, your wedding, your bar mitzvah, your birthday party, whatever you want to do with that memory, that watch from grandpa, or that bracelet from mom, or that wedding ring that's been passed down through your family. If you want to get something engraved with a memory to last a lifetime, the Penn and Trophy Center, 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, where memories are made and where memories last a lifetime. For all of us that have always wanted our favorite restaurant to come to us, it's now a reality in Central New York with It's a Utica Thing, with Utica Pizza Company bringing their wonderful recipes that they've handed down through generations to you, to your event, to your business, to your home. It's a Utica Thing, proudly bringing Utica Pizza Company on wheels to your location. Call 315-738-8946. That's 315-738-8946 to bring Utica Pizza Company to your doorstep with It's a Utica Thing.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on mixlr.com/wakeupcalldt. Here in the morning menu inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, proudly brought to you by The Market Diner on 2100 Park Street in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market across from Destiny USA. It is the home of the Dan Tortora special, Belgian waffle cut in half, filled with a bacon, egg, and cheese omelet. It is an amazing start to your day, or a continuation of your day, or you need to pick me up in the middle of the day, or you want to get something for dinner. Whatever it may be, the Danzatora special is available for you Monday through Sunday, breakfast, lunch, and dinner Monday through Saturday, and Sunday until 2:30 because they close a little bit earlier on Sundays. Head out to the Market Diner and support your local Central New York businesses. In the morning menu, we have been discussing Syracuse Orange men's basketball. Coming off of that victory, 81-76, over the Wake Forest Demon Deacons at home on Tuesday, January 24th, which was yesterday, if you're listening here to the live feed. And in that discussion, you got to hear my conversations with assistant coach Adrian Red Autry, as well as Torian Thompson, Tyler Lydon, and Tyus Battle. So, the three T's and Red. Red and the three T's. I don't know. I kind of like that. So you got to hear from those gentlemen on. I'll shop it. I'm gonna have to take a look at that. T cubed and red and the red and T cubed, red and T cubed. I think if you put it all together, it kind of sounds interesting. But you heard from Adrian Red Autry and three of the Syracuse student athletes following the victory over Wake Forest. These guys have every reason to be happy with the way that they performed down the stretch in the second half, almost 60% from the field. But more importantly, defensively, they made plays. Defensively, they got after it. Offensively, they got rebounds. I mean, there are a lot of areas that Dale Shackelford and I spoke about at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub going into the game where we wanted to see more from Syracuse in certain areas, including rebounding offensively and defensively. Getting after it, putting your hands up, getting in the lanes, getting steals, getting out in transition. There were a lot of things that Dale and I were looking for. And Syracuse responded by going out there and taking care of business. And sometimes it took them a while. You know, like I said, to get the first offensive rebound, it was 7:31 left in the first half before that happened. But when it happened, it gave Syracuse a one-point lead. 14 lead changes and 12 ties in the game. Figured out a way to win this thing. That says a lot about what the Syracuse Orange did in this game. It says a lot about how they played. It says a lot about where they're at right now if they continue this road. Because we've been here before where I said, you know, Syracuse looked good against Pittsburgh and they took care of it against Miami. But then they go on the road and they don't look anything like themselves. They go on the road and games. They go on the road and they continue to struggle. So when you look at Syracuse and you look at where they're at, you want to say that they have attempted to turn the corner, which they have, but they've never turned the corner. And so now they're faced with an opportunity at having 10 games left on the season, and whether or not they turn the corner is up to them. It's always been up to them. But it's taking a hold of it and making sure that in these games where they're going back and forth, they went back and forth with North Carolina early on. They went back. I mean, Notre Dame really, really laid it in to Syracuse, and Syracuse allowed it to happen. But Syracuse went back and forth with North Carolina. Syracuse put themselves in situations with teams this season, you know, back and forth early with North Carolina. With Virginia Tech, they had opportunity. But it was never doing enough. It was never being consistently good defensively, consistently good offensively. It was the factor of consistency, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's whether or not Syracuse is going to put themselves in a position to win the game by being consistently strong all the way throughout. And when you look at Syracuse and you look at what they've done in the past, this team is very uncharacteristic of recent Syracuse basketball. Syracuse basketball, 20 wins, getting out there, doing good things. At this point, they've hit their stride. At this point, you know what they're about. At this point, you're starting to really get a feel for them. And last year, it happened a little bit later, but Boeheim was penalized and taken out for 9 games. Where the team went 4-5 under Mike Hopkins. And if I hear one more person tell me that Mike Hopkins can't coach, I'm going to blow a gasket. He was handed the book from Jim Boeheim. Mike Hopkins has always been the big brother of the student athletes, and Jim Boeheim has been the father. It's very hard to go from big brother to father for 9 games and then back to big brother. You don't really do it. You don't want to change the environment and the culture of the team. So he's coaching as a big brother, not as a father. He's handed the keys and being told how to drive the car, where to drive the car. Don't go over 60. Don't go on these roads. Don't get a scratch on it. Mike was essentially filling Jim Boeheim's space for 9 games. It was not his team. They have not had to listen to him overall. He doesn't make the final decision, and he's not holding the playbook making those choices. So I know this is a side note to what I was saying, but if you think that Mike Hopkins is a bad head coach, give him a chance to be a head coach before you make that decision. 9 games in the middle of a season when you're being investigated by the NCAA and they come down on you and you're thrown into this thing and Jim Boeheim is supposed to start when the ACC starts, but instead they say you could start it 2 days from now. They give you less than 72 hours for Jim to get out and Mike to come in, and you start your 9-game suspension now as opposed to 9 games of the ACC. Throw anybody in a situation where they're trying to prepare for something of taking over a team that's not theirs and not really getting to make a lot of decisions, but just continue with the status quo. Take that scenario, which is already tough, and then throw on top of it that it's going to begin earlier than you thought it was. When you put a team in that position and you put a coach in that position, don't expect 9-0 or 8-1. 4-5 wasn't bad. It was middle of the road. So, like I said, I know it's a side note, but stop judging the capability of Mike Hopkins because you haven't seen it. And to me, until you see that, until you know what he is truly worth, until you watch him day in and day out, until you see him coach his own team on his own terms at his own time, then you can't say anything. And anybody that wants to coach better than Mike Hopkins and come down from the stands, come down. Show us what you got. It's a lot harder of a job than people give credit for. It's a lot more difficult of a thing to do than people might tell you it is. Because the overwhelming majority of us don't know what it's like to coach at the Division I men's basketball level. Because there's 22,000 plus fans in the stands at yesterday's game against Wake Forest, and there's only 2 head coaches on the floor. Do you want to know the percentage of that in the building? I'll tell you. Just to make it even more, make it stand out even more. 2 of 22,000, that is 0.009% of the people in the building are coaching the game. Less than 1% of the people in the building, okay? Less than 1%. 0.009% of the people inside of the Carrier Dome are actually making decisions on the court. Not an easy job. And this team has been difficult for Jim Boeheim, as I think it would be for any coach. Except, I don't know, I guess John Calipari gets away with it, but he figures it out. I mean, every year but see, that's his culture. He's only used to coaching guys for a year. I think if he had to coach a guy for 3 years, I don't know how that would work out for him. Maybe that would be jarring to him. But he's an enigma. He's somebody who is not your norm, typical run-of-the-mill coach. When it comes to Jim, and when I say run-of-the-mill coach, I mean someone who grooms players over time. When it comes to Jim Boeheim, that's what he does. He teaches you the zone over time. He teaches you how to play in his style over time. He critiques you. He puts you on the spot. He challenges you. And he sees what you look like as a junior. Did you learn anything? And once you hit that third year, he knows what he has, for the most part. And senior year, if you've done your job up to that point, he has now shifted from being difficult toward you in the postgame press conference to supporting you. He did it with Trevor. He did it with Rakeem. He's done it in the past with numerous players where he has shifted from critiquing them to defending them. But that's because they showed him their worth while they were there. They responded to adversity. They responded to what he had to say, and he liked the response. Where we sit right now, this team is still showing what they're capable of. They're still showing what they can do. They're still showing what they're made of. They're still showing how far they could go. So I could sit here and I could say anything. Nothing's off the table right now with this team. This team could run the table from here on out and shock most people. They could go back to losing. They could go back on the road and be completely gone. They can win every game at home, lose every game on the road, and maybe that looks okay. They can defeat Duke, and then people say, no matter what happens, at least we beat Duke. That's what a lot of SU fans say. SU fans look at Duke like they look at Georgetown. It doesn't hold the same weight to everybody, but in the sense of this parallel, if Syracuse defeats Duke on any season, whether Syracuse is 0-16 going into the game or 16-0 or 8-8, whatever it may be, when Syracuse defeats Duke, fans say, at least we beat Duke this year. And that's what Georgetown was. At least we beat Georgetown. Syracuse started off the season by losing to three old rivals, Georgetown, St. John's, and UConn. Then they defeated an old rival in Pitt. And they lost to a team that they were all too familiar with in Boston College, but they avenged that loss. They have an opportunity to go on the road at Pitt. They have two games against Louisville, and they have a game against Duke. Those are the games that fans are really going to look at, because those are the games where you, if you're a Syracuse fan, you want to beat Rick Pitino. If you're a Syracuse fan, you want to defeat Coach K. If you're a Syracuse fan, you don't want Pitt to split with you 1-1. And I know some people are sitting here saying, Dan, if you're a real fan, you want to win every game. Absolutely. But I'm saying the games that are circled on the calendar. Now, for Syracuse, defensively, you know, and I asked that question, what is it about the defense? What is it about going on the road and struggling? And you heard it earlier here in the show. It's about confidence. It's about composure. It's about knowing that they could do it. They come home, they feel good. They go on the road, they don't feel good. It's exactly what I've been saying to you all season. You put a team on the road, and Syracuse fans travel everywhere, but you put a team on the road in somebody else's home, and inevitably those fans are going to be loud, and they're going to be very abrasive toward the other team, and guess what? You have to have the mental capacity to handle something like that. And we forget that Taurean Thompson is a freshman, and we forget that Tyus Battle is a freshman. And we forget that Andrew White III's never played on the level of Syracuse basketball. And we forget that John Gillen has never played on the level of Syracuse basketball. So when these guys go on the road, they're not used to what they're hearing. And that takes some time. They're 0-7. They have to win a game on the road. They have to do that for their own psyche. They have to win a game in the regular season on the road, whatever game that is. And the games that they have left on the road are at Clemson, at NC State, at Clemson, at Pitt, at Georgia Tech, at Louisville. They have to win one of those games. For the own psyche of the team, they have to win one of those games. Because everything from there is on the road. ACC tournament in the Barclays Center. People say, well, Dan, that's home for Syracuse. Really? Because they just lost there. That's not home. It felt like anything but home to these gentlemen if you go and ask them. That didn't feel like home. The Barclays Center didn't feel like home. They lost to South Carolina there. So where Syracuse goes from here is up to Syracuse. What they do in this moment is up to Syracuse. But I will say this about this game that we just watched. Syracuse against Wake Forest made a statement. We can rebound the ball offensively. We can disrupt you in a full court press. We can double team you and cause you to get flustered. We can get steals from our center, Daywon Coleman. We can get steals from John Gillen, who people have critiqued and loved, and it's been back and forth this season. We can find a way to dig it out. Now, Wake Forest isn't the best team in the ACC by any stretch of the imagination, but Syracuse came into the game yesterday the same way that Wake Forest came in, 3-4 in the ACC. So Syracuse, in winning this game, did something good for themselves. They leapfrogged Wake Forest, sent them down to 3-5, which has put Syracuse in a situation where they're now the seventh best team in the ACC. They've been 14th, they've been 15th, they've been in the top five, they've been in the bottom half, and now they're number seven. They're above Duke, who's 15-5. They're above Georgia Tech, who they will face twice this season, who is 11-8. They're above NC State, who they will be facing in their first road trip, or their next road trip that they will take this season. They'll be facing NC State on February 1st, right after the game this weekend. So they'll have a shot there. They took their shot at Wake Forest and sent them down to 3-5 in the ACC. Miami, who Syracuse defeated, and Boston College, who they split with, and Pittsburgh, who they defeated, are all below them. So if in any way, shape, or form these teams tie Syracuse, Syracuse holds the tiebreaker over Miami, over Pittsburgh if they win again. And Boston College, they split 1-1, so it'd be overall. But Boston College's overall record is 9-11 right now. And they have a shot at Clemson, who's at the bottom of the ACC. And Syracuse can take a shot at Duke, who's right below them, later on this year. And then Syracuse can take a shot at Virginia, who currently stands four spots above them. Take a shot at Louisville, who's two spots above them. Take a shot at Florida State, who is the top team in the ACC and has been there all ACC season long, outside of one opportunity where Notre Dame was at the top. But Florida State is 6-1. Each of these teams in the ACC have shown that they're beatable. All of them have won a game. All of them have lost a game. So when you look at Syracuse and counting a team out or not counting a team out, each of these teams has been exposed. I think somebody said at the beginning of the season, or multiple outlets said, that there was going to be 10 ACC teams in the NCAA tournament out of 15. I'll tell you right now, when you look at the records, there's not going to be 10 teams right now in the NCAA tournament coming from the ACC. Everyone is beatable. Everyone has lost a game. Florida State is 6-1 in the conference. They're ranked in the top 10 in the country. They lost to North Carolina by 13. Now, that's a quality loss, if there is such a thing, but it is something that gets factored in. They lost to a top 12 team. North Carolina is 6-1. They have one loss, and that's to Georgia Tech. That is not a quality loss, because Georgia Tech is toward the middle to the bottom of the ACC. Virginia has two losses here on Wednesday, January 25th, as it stands right now, and they were back-to-back to Florida State and Pittsburgh. That Pittsburgh loss looks atrocious after the way that Pittsburgh got annihilated by Louisville recently. Virginia's two losses, Florida State and Pittsburgh. So that loss to Pittsburgh, not looking good for Virginia. Notre Dame, who started off hot, they've had two losses inside of the ACC, one to Florida State and one to Virginia. Those are quality losses, but again, Florida State has a victory over these teams that are right behind them. So if anything happens, they have that opportunity to break the tiebreaker. Louisville has lost to Virginia, they've lost to Notre Dame, and they've lost to Florida State. and each of those teams are above them. So Louisville losing to Virginia, once again, as well as Notre Dame and Florida State. Virginia, Notre Dame, and Florida State all above Louisville right now. So that affects them. They're 5-3 in the conference. Virginia Tech, who started off strong, they're 4-3 in the ACC. They've lost to NC State, which right now is not a great loss in that respect. They lost to Florida State because pretty much everybody has. And they lost to Notre Dame. So that affects their seeding when it comes down to being tied. Syracuse is 4-4. And Syracuse lost to Boston College is a bad loss. Virginia Tech, respectable loss. North Carolina, it was a top 10 team at the time. Notre Dame, top 15 team at the time. Duke has 4 losses on the season in the ACC. They've lost to NC State, which helps NC State if they surge late. They've lost to Louisville, which helps Louisville stay where they are above Duke. They lost to FSU, which most have, as I said before, and they lost to Virginia Tech. Duke's best win in the ACC was against, their largest margin of victory was over Georgia Tech, who's not doing that well. And they beat Boston College and they beat Miami. But the talent of the ACC, they've lost to Virginia Tech, Florida State, Louisville, NC State. They've lost to that. That makes a statement. That makes a huge statement for this team right now. Duke is a very beatable team. Very beatable team right now. Which Syracuse fans, I'm sure, love to hear that. But they are a very, very beatable team right now. And you look up and down the overall records of the ACC, Florida State's 18-2, North Carolina's 18-3, Virginia's 16-3, Notre Dame has 4 losses, Louisville, Virginia have 4 losses, Syracuse has 9 losses, Duke has 5, Georgia Tech has 8, Boston College has 11, Miami has 6, Wake Forest has 8, NC State has 7, Georgia Tech has 8, if I think I mentioned that, Pittsburgh has 8, and Clemson has 8. So the least amount of losses of anybody in the entire ACC overall, inside and outside of the conference, is Florida State at 18-2. Duke is 15-5. Syracuse is 12-9. So the best-looked teams right now are Florida State and North Carolina. 6-1 in the conference, 18-2 for Florida State, 18-3 for North Carolina. Virginia not looking too shabby. Notre Dame not looking too shabby. These are the teams that I expect to see somewhere come NCAA tournament time. But Louisville has work to do. Virginia Tech has work to do. Syracuse has a lot of work to do. And Duke, even though it seems like somebody's always rooting for them in the NCAA tournament committee, they got some work to do. They only have 15 wins. And they've been losing recently. Duke has been exposed recently. They've lost 3 of their last 4 games. Wake Forest is going to be pissed off this weekend when they play up against Duke because they just lost this game to Syracuse close. And they don't consider this a quality loss because Syracuse hasn't been ranked in the top 25 in a while. So, and that's the thing about preseason rankings. It's why you don't see me outside of making preseason predictions of how things like standings will be and whatnot. I don't do preseason rankings like, is Syracuse one of the top 25 best teams in the country? I can talk about it, I can discuss it, but I don't think it's a fair assessment to say there's 351 Division I men's basketball schools who are the top 25 this season, because you always, inevitably, will go back to that. Well, this outlet said that my team was a top 20 team in the country. Well, this outlet said my team's a top 10 team. Well, this outlet said we're a top 5 and we've lost 9 games. You can say whatever you want to say in your prediction. And I stand by my predictions when I look at a smaller scope, like the ACC, right? When I'm predicting how 15 teams will finish as opposed to 351. And when I look at Syracuse and everybody complaining about Syracuse in the rankings. Why are they not in the rankings? Why are they in the rankings but they're here? Why are they 19th but they're not 13th? Why are they not in the top 15? Why aren't they a top 5? I thought this is one of the deepest teams that Boeheim had. It should be a top 10. We should be number 1. This is why you play the game. If Syracuse was ranked number 1, oh my lord. They're not ranked in the top 25, and they shouldn't be right now. There is no reason why Syracuse should be ranked in the top 25 right now. And I don't say that disrespectfully to anybody. I know the players. I know the coaches. I respect the heck out of them. I know many players and many coaches across this great nation, and I respect the heck out of them. An impartial view of this, and any Syracuse fan can consult their conscience with this, knows that Syracuse should not be ranked in the top 25 or the top 30 or even the top 35 at this moment. What they do against the teams that they are about to face, then we can start talking about, is this a top 25 team surging late? I don't know if you can call Syracuse a top 25 team at all in this regular season with 9 losses, because it's dependent on teams around the country. But Syracuse has 2 shots at Louisville that's ranked in the top 15, a shot at Duke who's ranked in the top 20, and a shot at Virginia who's ranked in the top 12 in the nation, and a shot at Florida State who's ranked in the top 6. So if they want to take shots, they can take shots. They have plenty of opportunities. They have 5 games against 4 teams ranked in the top 25. If Syracuse wants to be heard by the NCAA committee, you got to at least split with Louisville. You got to defeat Duke because they got some. They're playing very un-Duke-like at this time, let me say that. So you got to split with Louisville. You got to take down Duke. If you're not going to beat Virginia, you got to play them pretty damn tough. And you have to make a statement against Florida State. Syracuse wants to put themselves in a good position. The best time to do that is this weekend, January 28th at noon Eastern time against Florida State at home inside the Carrier Dome. You want to take a shot at any team in the ACC, take a shot at the top. And the top isn't Duke, and the top isn't North Carolina, and the top isn't Notre Dame, and the top isn't Louisville, and the top isn't Virginia. The top this season, right now, and throughout, for the most part, has been Florida State. You want to make a statement to the NCAA committee, you beat Florida State. You beat Florida State, and you change things. You beat Florida State, and you put yourself on a different place. You beat Florida State, and you get to 13 wins and a winning record in the ACC. That is a statement that cannot be taken back. It is a statement that people will always go back to. Because inevitably, Florida State is one of the top teams in the country. Okay, they've shown that. They've displayed that. They've taken down teams. You've given them the top talent. You've given them the storied organizations. And they've taken those teams down. You want to do something with this season. You want to salvage this season. You want to boost the morale of the players that you have. You want to boost the morale of the fan base. You want to boost the morale of the coaches. You defeat Florida State. Florida State is the game on the calendar that if Syracuse wins, they can go back to it. Jim Boeheim will inevitably go back to it. If this team can pull off 17 wins in the regular season and steal a couple in the ACC tournament, now they're saying we're a 19-20 win team somewhere around that region, and we defeated one of the top teams in the nation in Florida State. You got to give us a shot. And they will say, well, you lost to Boston College, and they would say, no, we split with Boston College. And then they would say, well, you lost to Wisconsin. Well, they were ranked in the top 25. Well, you lost to South Carolina. Well, that's a pretty damn good team right now. Well, you lost to Georgetown. That could be one that the committee could argue. St. John's, they could argue. But Syracuse has lost to Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, North Carolina. Those are all good teams. Those are all strong teams. But Syracuse does not have a win this season currently against a ranked team in the top 25 at the time of play. They don't have a win against a ranked team in the top 25 at the time of play. If you want to make a statement, you make it this weekend on Saturday, January 28th at noon Eastern time. We'll take a step aside here for a fast break on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Come back and wrap things up, and I'll talk with you in just a moment.
This is a Wake Up Call Fast Break.
Gear up with the real deal at Dry Sig Apparel, creating what people are going to see and learn about you before they even meet you. Gear up for what you need for your team, business, or event. To look professional, look good, and feel good, outfit yourself at DrySigApparel.com. That's DreisSig Apparel.com. The only place to gear up with the real deal.
Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, your premier sports pub in downtown Syracuse, Central New York. This is your home for all Syracuse sports home and away games, as well as the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, and so much more, NCAA everything. Go to Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, the hub of every Central New York sports fan. That's where you go. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. Great food, great drinks at a great price and a great atmosphere. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street, etched in the history of Syracuse. Right in the heart of Syracuse.
What's the universal language of a fan? Clapping your hands. With Fan Hands, the ultimate sports fan accessory, find your team color, slip them on, and start cheering on your favorite team with 11 different colors always in stock on FanHands.com, where you'll find the ultimate sports fan accessory. Real fans wear Fan Hands.
The Penn and Trophy Center on 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, has been making memories for Central New York for over 60 years. It has the trophies for your teams, and when you walk in there, it's so much more than just that. When you walk into the Penn and Trophy Center, you are immersed in the reality that anything can be customized, anything can be engraved, whether it's for your anniversary, your wedding, your bar mitzvah, your birthday party, whatever you want to do with that memory, that watch from grandpa, or that bracelet from mom, or that wedding ring that's been passed down through your family. If you want to get something engraved with a memory to last a lifetime, the Penn and Trophy Center, 111 East Willow Street in Syracuse, New York, where memories are made and where memories last a lifetime.
I'm George Townsend of Honda City with some good advice when buying a new car. The true cost of owning a new car is determined by the appraised value when you trade it. No vehicle appraises higher than a Honda. Next, look for low APRs and deep discounts. You also want low maintenance costs and great fuel economy. That's why my advice to you is to buy a new Honda. Looking pre-owned, visit our Honda Certified Used Car Center. Honda City, 7140 Henry Clay Boulevard, Liverpool, or HondaCity-CNY.com.
It would be a pity if you don't shop.
Utica Pizza Company spells family. Your family, my family, their family. The recipes that they have shared with each other throughout the years and have now been so gracious to share them with us. I can sit here and talk with you about all the great things that are on the menu. We'd be here forever. So let me say this. Utica Pizza Company is second to none. And now you can bring it home with you and you can dine in the restaurant. UticaPizzaCompany.com will give you all the information that you need. And let me say, these Utica greens, they're the best. Utica Pizza Company, call them and place your order at 315-214-3060. That's 315-214-3060. Families break bread at Utica Pizza Company.
Welcome back here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. Happy to be here with you this morning, folks. And I appreciate you tuning in to the show. And we got started a little bit around 10 a.m. instead of 9 a.m. this morning due to a required change in the live feed, which is nothing we could do. It happens a few times a year, but the required change in the update of the live feed. So I thank those of you that have listened into today's show live. I apologize that it was late. It was completely beyond my control. And, you know, it's just some of the technical stuff that happens with the world that we live in today. You know, live feeds have their update moments. They have to be upgraded at certain times and updated, the software and whatnot. So normally it takes a few minutes. Today it took a little bit longer. So I thank you for staying with me, and I thank you for listening in at 10 a.m. I thank you for hearing the one-on-one conversations with Adrian Red Autry, assistant coach of the Syracuse Orange, as well as student athletes Torian Thompson, Tyler Lydon, and Tyus Battle. I thank you for listening into my conversation on Syracuse's season, on the ACC, and an overall look at college basketball. And all the other topics that we had set up for today's show, they will officially be on tomorrow. So we will discuss that tomorrow, Thursday, January 26th. We will start off at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and we will go to numerous topics. So those of which in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Marquette Diner, will include Steve Wojciechowski and Marquette defeating top-ranked Villanova. We'll get into that. The Kansas Jayhawks, ranked number 2 in the nation, losing to the West Virginia Mountaineers. Adam Pac-Man Jones getting himself back into trouble. Kyle Shanahan with a Super Bowl on the line and a potential job on the line. How juggling both, what I could say about that and what's known about that. Falcons owner Arthur Blank doing something amazing for his people. And we'll get into a few other things on tomorrow's show. We'll obviously break down the schedule for Syracuse football that just came out this week and officially came out yesterday. I'll be discussing that with you. So Syracuse's football schedule that features 7 home games, 5 away games. So for those of you that get pissed off that the game is over at MetLife, well, it's not at MetLife. And Syracuse's contract with MetLife Stadium for New York College Classic officially ended last year, the current contract that they were under. So games being at MetLife, maybe not anymore. It was under Dr. Gross, so it's up to what John Wildhack wants to do from here on out with that. But as of right now, there are no games that are being sent out somewhere. There's no games that are being given to MetLife as opposed to the Carrier Dome and outsourced outside of the city of Syracuse. So that's good news for the upcoming season. And there's 7 home games to 5 away games, so that's good as well. Although people are saying that the home games are not games that they fancy, so to speak. So some fans want better home games than what we're currently seeing. So I'll break it down and I'll get into it. I'm also going to look for your votes and your thoughts. So make sure you go to Twitter at CallDT, that's CallDT, and answer the poll questions that I'm going to be putting up there. That's CallDT on Twitter. I'll be putting up poll questions today that I'll be reading on tomorrow's show. So you will have today to answer up until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So make sure you do so on Twitter at CallDT. That's CallDT. I want to leave you with a couple things. And one of them has to do with something that I brought up yesterday. And another one has to do with something that I wanted to bring up yesterday. So I'm going to start with that thing that I wanted to discuss yesterday that we didn't get a chance to get to, and that is congratulating Dion Waiters on defeating the Golden State Warriors. But it's one thing for me to say congratulations. It's another thing for you to hear what that sounded like. So we're going to go into that right now. Dion Waiters taking down the Golden State Warriors with the Miami Heat in a last-second shot, and you can listen in to what that sounded like right here, right now. So we'll give it a moment here to get started, and then we will get into it as Dion Waiters, a former Syracuse player, who Syracuse fans obviously miss his ability at the rim, they miss his shot, they miss what he did for this team at times. Well, you'll have an opportunity to hear right now what he just did.
With 7.
So once again, congratulations to Deion Waiters, former Syracuse player, who had his game-winning three and 33 points to tie his single-game high in the NBA, doing that up against the Golden State Warriors with the Miami Heat. If you want to pay attention to him, you can pay attention to Miami's schedule, and he is number 11 on the team, and he doesn't have to worry about the likes of Dwayne Wade and LeBron James taking away shots from him. He has an opportunity to be a star, which is something that he's fought for. He's always wanted to be the guy to take the shot. Well, now he is. And he did, and it went in against one of the best teams in the country. So, congratulations to Deion Waiters. The second thing I want to say really quick here is that, you know, I made mention yesterday of the pipeline that they're trying to bring about and everything that's happened with that. And Les, who listens to the show and who comes out and plays trivia, and I appreciate everybody that comes out and plays trivia over at Woody's every Thursday at 7 p.m. That's Thursdays at 7 p.m. Free to play, prizes every week, and a grand prize cash at the end of every 11-week schedule that we have. So we run week 1 through 11, then we start back up at 1 again, and in week 11 we give away a cash prize. Each week counts toward that cash prize. And if you bring a new team with you or you create a new team, you get 500 points that automatically get banked toward week 11 and toward that cash. So make sure that you not only come, but that you bring friends that have their own team to come. The more teams we have, the more opportunities you have to get points and get closer to the money at the week 11 opportunity. So play every week at Woody's. The more you play, the more opportunities you have to get points to win that money and in week 11. So make sure you play every single Thursday at 7 p.m. at Woody's, 2803 Brewerton Road in Syracuse, New York, in the Matty Dow Plaza where Kmart is. Make sure you come over to Woody's Thursdays at 7 p.m. Play live trivia, sports, music, movies, TV, a little bit of everything, geography, presidents. Come out and play Wake Up Call live trivia Thursdays at 7 p.m. The more you play, the more opportunities you have at points toward the money in week 11, and the more teams you bring and the more people you bring, the more opportunities you have at banking points toward your future. So make sure that you do that as well. Bringing up Les, you know, Standing Rock, the Access Pipeline opposition that this group has created, the Dakota Access Pipeline opposition, the DAPL. You've heard, obviously, recently that President Trump wants to move forward with this. He wants to create the pipeline. It's going to create jobs, this, that, and the other thing. I just want to give my best to the people that are standing with Standing Rock. I want to send them my love. I want to send them my support. I want to send them my gratitude for them peacefully protesting. I want to ask them to continue to be peaceful in their protests. I want to ask them to continue to pray, to be hospitable. I want them to remember their morals and their values. I want them to believe in a higher power. Believe in God, believe in that what's right will happen, and that God has a hand in everything. So I pray the best for all of you standing with Standing Rock. I proudly stand with you too. It's a shame and a travesty to say that I'm standing against the President of the United States in any decision, but I have to stand against him in this one. So please stand with Standing Rock, and if you're going to protest, protest peacefully. And to those idiots that climbed on top of a crane in Washington, D.C., if you fall off, I don't feel sorry for you. Get off the crane, go back home, realize what you're doing, and understand that there's real protests going on, like Standing Rock, that have to do with tradition, that have to do with history, that have to do with Mother Earth, that have to do with the land, that have to do with the sanctity of so many things, and have to do with the health of the people in that area. If you're standing on a crane right now because you're angry, get off the crane, go back home, and stop being an idiot. You make protesting have a bad name. To those protesting the pipeline in Dakota, I proudly stand with you, and I thank you. I stand with Standing Rock. I'll be with you tomorrow morning, Thursday, January 26th. We'll get to all those topics that I brought up that are going to be happening on the show tomorrow, Thursday, January 26th, in the morning menu, proudly presented by the Market Diner on 2100 Park Street, in Syracuse, New York, in the regional market, across from Destiny USA. Go try the Dance Tour special right now. My spin on the breakfast sandwich, and you can get it all throughout the day. God bless. Be well. I cannot wait for my VIP business-to-business Ring in the New Year mixer tonight. So excited for that. Truly appreciate everybody that's coming out to that. And for everyone that can't make it, I love you, and I thank you so much, and I know you're working hard. And then anybody's not coming, it's because they're working. So I got to support Central New York, and Central New York has supported me, and I thank you so much for that. So I will take a step aside for today, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, January 26th. God bless you, and have yourself a great day.